Thank you, Simba. And now is the learning part of our service. So Angie is going to come and bring us our reading, and then Philip's going to share with us about our abilities in God's service.
This morning's reading is taken from Exodus, chapter 31, verses 1 to 11. The Lord spoke to Moses, "See, I have called by name Bezalel, son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with divine spirit, with ability, intelligence, knowledge in every kind of craft, to devise artistic designs, to work in gold, silver, and bronze, in cutting stones for setting, and in carving wood, in every kind of craft. Moreover, I have appointed with him Aholiab, son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, and I have given skill to all the skillful, so that they may make all that I have commanded you: the tent of meeting, and the ark of the covenant, and the mercy seat that is on it, and all the furnishings of the tent, the table and its utensils, the pure lampstand with all its utensils, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offering with all its utensils, and the basin with its stand, and the finely worked vestments, the holy vestments for the priest Aaron, and the vestments of his sons for their service as priests, and the anointing oil and the fragrant incense for the holy place. They shall do just as I have commanded you." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Angie, and a very good morning, everyone. It's a privilege for me to be here today. Should we look at the Bible together? Is that a good plan? Yep, we'll do that. One or two nods anyway, that's something. So shall I pray? Gracious Father, we thank you for your word, the Bible, inspired by your Holy Spirit. Pray now you'll inspire our hearts, that each one of us may hear your word for us today. For we pray for Jesus' sake. Amen. So we're looking, as has been foretold, at our abilities. Part of our shape course, when we're finding out by seeing our shape, we're finding out our calling from God and how we can walk in it. So firstly, can we have the next slide, please, to be useful? That's it. Abilities. So what is an ability? I probably think the easiest way to describe an ability is to compare them with week one, spiritual gifts. Okay, so we have abilities and we have spiritual gifts. Now, an ability is natural. It comes from this world, whereas a spiritual gift is supernatural. It's, if you like, a direct work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Secondly, abilities are given for practical tasks, for something that we can see or touch or feel, something we can get with our senses. Whereas a spiritual gift is something in the spiritual realm, something which perhaps we can't immediately see, gift of prayer or a Holy Spirit working initially in an invisible way, yes, which affects people's lives, but not obviously tangibly. Abilities, thirdly, are possessed by all people. Everyone has an ability, whether they're Christian or not. But a spiritual gift is given by those filled by the Holy Spirit, given to Christians. Only Christians have spiritual gifts. So just a bit of clarity, an ability, as far as we're concerned today, is a physical or mental skill or quality which we use to do practical tasks and are possessed by all people. Now, I doubt if you read our Bible reading every day, do you? It's not one of the top 10 Bible readings, I don't think. But it was an account, or part of the account, of the making of the tabernacle, when the people of Israel were walking through the desert after coming out from Egypt, before they hit the promised land. They carried, if you like, a portable church, you might say, called the tabernacle, which is a focus of worship of God. And this was part of the instructions for building it. And you won't be surprised to see that I see three things about how these people use their abilities to build the tabernacle, and we can learn that about how we can develop and use our abilities today. The first is a slight cheat. I would have said they're a gift from God, but when I was at school, gifts began with G. Is that still the case? They change most things, but I think that's probably still the case. So I've called it a present from God, a present from God. That we read that Bazael was filled with the Spirit of God, with skill, ability, and knowledge. And in verse 6, I've given skill to all craftsmen. Now, just to help us, do you see how, perhaps slightly confusingly, this text splits ability into three things? The second one's ability, which is a bit confusing, but never mind. But the ability to do craft work and design things that Bazael had was delivered, had to be done in three ways, or had three aspects to it. The first, that it was a skill. Now, this is something which is directly given by God. You know, some of us have natural skills, some of us don't. I greatly admire our worship team. Thank you very much for leading us in worship. Now, I could practice whatever they play all my life, and it'd be absolutely appalling. You know, I'm absolutely hopeless at music, okay? I just don't have the skill. Just don't have the skill. Have skills in other things, but not in music. So there's something which we are given by God, and we need to try and work out what's my natural ability, if you like, which God has given me. The second word that the writer uses is the word ability. Now, this is basically what we add to it. Now, thank you much for playing today, team, or all your instruments, but I suspect, if I'm sure, you practice. You just didn't pick up your guitar or whatever it was on day one and just off you went. You had to practice. We have to invest in our abilities, decide what they are, and practice and use them. And so an ability is something which, you know, we develop by patience, hard work, application, being taught by others, by practice. So our ability is both a skill we receive, an ability, if you like, we work on, and then lastly, knowledge or wisdom. That is, we have to use it in the right way, and that would be the third P, okay? So don't fall asleep, okay? You have to wait until the end of the sermon to hear about how we are to use our abilities. But that's what an ability is, something we use practically, something which is given by God, but we have to work on to enhance, and has to be used in the right way. Just for a brief moment, just think to yourself and name in your head an ability that you have. Maybe more than one ability that you have. Just name it in your head. The second P is partnership, partnership with others. We read in verse 6 that I have appointed Abdullah to help him. We achieve much more when we do it with other people. Jesus sent his disciples out two by two. And there are so many advantages of working together. If you'll bear with me, I'll just go through a few of them. First is, there are some things we just can't do by itself. Do you remember that very little Christmas tree we had up there? Okay. In order to get that Christmas tree vertical, it took five strong men and me to do that. Now, even though one of those strong men wouldn't have done it by themselves, it just needed six people. And, you know, there's some things we just cannot do by ourselves. Another way partnership is good is, well, something we was drummed into us in vicar training school. You may not believe it, vicars are trained. Okay, we hide it well, but we are trained. Okay, but one thing that's drummed into us is, work in your strengths, cover your weaknesses. Work in your strengths, cover your weaknesses. And it's just so important, isn't it? Don't throw good energy after bad by trying to make weakness good. You'll never do it. Okay? Work out what you're good at and find other people to cover your weaknesses. So important. So when we work in a team, if we all work to our strengths, so much more gets done. Also, when we're working with other people, we can work with other people. We can learn from other people. When I was a vicar, I was so grateful for various administrators I had, Susan and Judy. Now, you probably see from this computer thing there, my internet skills or computer skills are relatively limited. I can just about get that on a PowerPoint, and I'm quite proud of myself. So if I was stuck, I'd say to Susan or Judy, hey, I can't do this, can you show me how to do it? You know, they were just whizzes on computers. I haven't got a clue, really. Working in teams, we can learn from each other. In fact, one of them showed me how to do PowerPoint. You might not be too impressed, but at least I can do that. Also, working in partnership, we can identify gifts in each other. Often, you know, it's not just we're modest, but we can't see ourselves as others see us. Sometimes people can see something in us which we don't see. I mean, some of you here who are sort of very, very ancient may remember a guy here called Roger Carden, who was he ran the youth work and was a volunteer priest. But he said to me one day, Philip, do you think you should be ordained? I thought he was nutty. He was nutty, to be honest, but he's a great youth leader, but slightly. But he was right, can I say. But it took him, I think, to say it to me, or God to speak through him to me, initially. And here I am today. Others can see in us things we can't see for ourselves. And also, lastly, as we work together, we can encourage one another. Now, when Bishop Mike, remember Bishop Mike became bishop here, he called all the clergy together, all the vicars, well, I think all the clergy, and said, I've got three priorities for you. Three things, you know, most important things you do. So Bishop Mike, if you're watching, forgive me, I've forgotten the third one. But I remember the first two. Okay? The first one was look after your own spiritual life. Keep your walk with God good. And that's just so important, isn't it? If you're going to lead God's people, you've got to be right with God yourself. You won't lead people further than you've gone yourself. So keep your walk with God strong. The second one was, which really surprised me, was say thank you a lot. Say thank you a lot. In other words, encourage other people. Encourage people using their gifts. Encourage people on what they do. Say thank you was his second priority. And his third, I haven't got the foggiest, so I don't know. So there's great, great advantages in working in partnership. All those advantages, and probably more you can think of. Tell me some others afterwards as well. Other advantages in working in partnership. We're not called to be the Lone Ranger, okay? Work in partnership. And then lastly, and thirdly, we are to serve the purpose of God. We come back to that knowledge or wisdom in that text. How are we to use our abilities? We are to use them to serve the purpose of God. I've given skill in verse 6 to all the craftsmen to make everything as I commanded you. And in verse 11, they are to make it just as I commanded you. Andy, who greets us at the back, has a phrase, which if I've heard one time, I've heard it 10,000, well, perhaps not 10,000 times, but quite a few times. And some of you might know it from your sort of management courses you go on, okay? What the phrase is, teamwork makes the dream work. That's right, teamwork makes the dream work. You all heard that? Yeah, that's another one, isn't it? Okay. But the question is, whose dream? Whose dream? Well, it's not my dream, is it? God doesn't give me abilities to make my dreams work. Or dare I say it, to make the vicar's dreams work. He gives us abilities to make his dream work. We are to use our abilities, he says, just as I commanded you. And that's quite strong, isn't it? Just as I commanded you. That's very prescriptive, almost seems to be narrowing down our freedom. And for one Bible commentator says this, there is no room left for creative variations on the plans of God. It just seems that, you know, it's just so boring. You know, are we just robots? Are we just, you know, just literally on a production line, the old-fashioned production line, just doing our little bit with no creativity, no interest? It sounds so awful, doesn't it? But no, actually, it is in God's service that we find perfect freedom. It's in using our abilities as we want that we get the most benefit. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. St. Paul says this about God's will. He says that God's will is good, pleasing, and perfect. That God's will is good, pleasing, and perfect. When we use our abilities in God's way, when we have that wisdom to use our abilities in God's way, that is good. In other words, it has a good outcome. These folk making this mobile church, mobile temple, doing it God's way, it brought glory to God. It helped people focus on God. It's what God knew would help them to worship. And so it had a good outcome. It is good. It is pleasing. Actually, we feel a sense of a job well done. We feel a sense of doing things the right way. And it's pleasing to other people. That temple worked for other people. And it's also perfect. It has exactly the right outcome, the outcome that God wants, and that's the best outcome. So when we think of our abilities, it may seem just a bit constrictive just to use them the way God wants us to use them. But in fact, if we really thank God for the abilities he's given us, if we really think how we can use them with other people, if we really think how he actually wants us to use them and apply them, when we do these things, then we'll find it's good, pleasing, and perfect. Some of you may have seen the film Chariots of Fire. Eric Liddell, 101 years ago, wasn't it, this year, ran in the, not sure, was it Paris Olympics? I think it was Paris Olympics. He was due to, everyone said he's a dead cert for the 100 metres. I think it was 100 metres medal. But the heats were on Sunday. He was a Christian, and he felt, other Christians may not agree with him, but he felt as a Christian, he shouldn't run on a Sunday. And so he didn't run in the heats, and he lost his opportunity. And people thought he's lost his chance of a gold medal. But he's also up for the 400, which people thought, you know, he's not likely to win that. But he ran, and he won a gold medal because he used his ability in the way he believed God wanted him to use it. And in the film, this is what he says. He says, God made me fast. That's his ability. God made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure. Is there anything better than that? Is there anything better than that? Than feeling God's pleasure? So just for a few moments, just keep quiet. Just think of those abilities that God's given you. Perhaps just one ability. And think how you can do it according to his wisdom and feel his pleasure. Shall we keep silence just for a moment? Gracious Father, we pray you'd help us to serve you well, for Jesus' sake. Amen.